All right. We've now been joined by Justin Allgaier, driver of the number 7 Junior Motorsports Chevrolet. We're just going to go ahead and go straight to questions. So who would like to go first? We'll start with Jerry and then go down the line.
Jerry Jordan kicking the tires. I know you need a caffeine up. You know, is that rough out there?
Yeah. It's been a day, man. I'm a caffeine junkie anyways, but those last 20 laps were like everything you had. I'm pretty drained, so I need a little pick-me-up.
Take us through those laps, and then, you know, obviously you came out on top, but there was a lot of question there, you know, going through there. Were you worried at all that you guys would kind of get into each other, or?
You know, it's been fun these last few weeks. You know, Eric and I, not only are we friends, but we're great competitors on the racetrack. And I feel like, you know, knowing Eric for as long as I have, while we are hard-nosed competitors and we both want to be aggressive, we don't make contact, and we're able to race each other super, super well. And, you know, there was a lot of things that kind of transpired today. You know, we had that first rough pit stop, got behind, and we were able to get there. And I was frustrated at myself because I got by him and I made a mistake. And honestly, that was probably the catalyst for the end of the race. You know, and Eric came to victory lane. And, you know, after getting beat by him last week in the same scenario, right, like long run, you know, his car was definitely better in the long run. He said, I was for sure you were going to make at least one mistake. And he said, you never did. And it was all due to that end of stage two, right? And to have cars as good as we had today, both of us, right? It's special. And this race team, Jim Pullman, everybody that's a part of Junior Motorsports, you know, Chevrolet, Hendrick Engine Shop, I mean, they all work their guts out to bring cars like that. And everybody does. But just to see how well we qualified as a team and how well we raced, I mean, really the 88 drove away from me after we had the green flag pit cycle there. So, you know, there's just a lot of things that transpired today. But I knew at the end of the race when we were able to get back in front of Eric, Jim come on the radio, or Eddie, I don't remember which one, said, push. Don't worry about managing the gap. Don't worry about managing tires. Just push, push, push. And you know, we were able to get a big enough gap that when his car finally kind of came around, I was a little too tight. He was a little too free early. And, you know, it definitely had a crossover moment. And we were able to not make a mistake and go to victory lane. So, you know, 180 degrees from last week. I was sad last week. I was fired up at the end of stage two. But to come out of here on top, a place that I've loved since day one and have had so many seconds and thirds here, it made it that much more sweet and special.
We're going to go to Cole next.
Cole Cusimano with Arizona Republic and Speed Freaks. You mentioned it just there, your love for this place, 4 runner-up finishes. What's it like to finally just break through and get a win here in Sin City?
It's incredible. I don't know the stat. I probably should, but I think this is maybe the first place that I led laps in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Campbell doesn't know either. He doesn't know either. But this was the first racetrack that I had that like light switch moment where I just felt comfortable. I felt good. I felt like I could compete at a high level. I felt like I don't know. I just felt like this place clicked for me, and I've loved it ever since. And, you know, I've been coming here for a long time. I think 23rd attempt maybe was what that one was. So it's not like I haven't been coming here for a long time. And those seconds and thirds, you know, I remember vividly running second to Mark Martin here as teammates. And he was in the 32 and I was in the 31. And I can remember being crushed because I thought I had the race won. We had perfect pit strategy, and he edged me out at the very end, right? This racetrack has always meant a lot to me. The fans here, the track itself. I mean, they put a lot of effort into being bigger and better and bolder. And I mean, how cool is a trophy, right? You're in Vegas, and you know, there's so many cool things that happen here. I actually owe a big thank you to Brendan Gaughan, South Point Hotel and Casino, right? They're a big supporter of tomorrow, but they have taken care of me and my family out here this week beyond anything I could ever ask for, and I got a big group out here. There's 30 of us, I think, that are here this week of all my different family and friends that are here. And it's special. You know, this is a place a lot of people want to go. A lot of people want to win here. And we're able to check that bucket list off, and it's special.
And winning in Vegas, got a big group here, you just said. What does the celebration look like tonight?
We have dinner plans already. I'm probably screwing those up. But you know, it's been a long week. We got to go out and spend the week out in Disneyland. I take the kids on spring break, and to have nieces and nephews that we've not been able to meet yet and be able to be here and get my kids to be able to hang out with their cousins, right? Those are all the moments that are really, really special and mean a lot. And I think that tonight dinner is going to be that much sweeter. It's going to be that much more special, and we're going to be able to go back home tomorrow on a commercial flight early in the morning, tired as all get out. I'm going to probably still be flying pretty high, even probably higher than the plane, I guess, at that moment.
Go ahead.
Tom Zaleski, Iron County Today. I may be redundant on this a little bit, Justin, but when you got passed at the end of stage two, what was the conversation like? How were you keeping your head at that point? And with this being 22 now, the 22nd try here, I have flashbacks of Dale Sr. trying to win at Daytona. Would you put it on that level?
I mean, I don't know that you can ever put Daytona and Dale Sr. on any level of myself. I mean, that he is the legend for a reason. You know, the conversation wasn't very good. I was very animated and very frustrated, and you know, Jim Pullman and Eddie DeHaan, my spotter, were definitely playing calm down, right? And it's weird because it's just a stage, right? Oh yeah, I mean, no bad words, but I was mad at myself. I was really angry, and I even yelled on the radio. I was angry at myself, and what's funny about it is that I'm angry at myself because I made a mistake. I made that one mistake you don't make. I got by him. I did all the right things. We chased him down, and we did all the right things. And then I made this stupid mistake of losing the bottom. And Jim's like, look, man, you finished second in the stage. It's great points. We're going to be just fine. We're going to pass him. And I knew that, but I also knew in the back of my mind that I wanted that one. I made the mistake, right? They gave me the car that was able to go back and drive around him, and I made the mistake that let him win the race. And you know, the way last week transpired and the competitive nature of me, like I'm pretty calm and upbeat, and I love people, right? But when it comes to the race car, man, the competitive side of me just there's a switch in there that you flip, and ultimately it's what helped us win the race. But I was mad at myself, and I don't know how to not ever be that way. I've watched golfers do it. I've watched basketball players do it. I've watched football players do it. When you make the mistake that costs you or your team, you hold on to it. And luckily, we were able to go back and get the spot back and, you know, win the race. And now I can be free, and I won't have to think about it. But I was pretty burnt up after last week of getting beat on a green-white checker. So that one just added fuel to the fire, and now they're both gone, and we got our win, and we can go in and have a little bit of fun in Homestead next week.
We're going to go to Zach, up to Bob, Chris, the back, and then across.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Justin, congrats on this.
Thank you.
First of all, you were right. This is the first track that you led laps at 2009.
Is it? Okay, so we got differing stories here.
That's what I saw. Gotcha. Regardless,
we're close. You know,
Connor Zilich, and the run that he had, the way that he was racing you and Eric. What did you see from him in those moments? Obviously, the speeding mistake takes him out of contention. But what did you see from him in those moments as he's still figuring out these cars on intermediates?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Connor is an amazing race car driver and somebody that, I mean, listen, I have three teammates right now that, if you told me they were future cup champions, I wouldn't be surprised, right? Because they really, truly are very gifted and very special. You know, I think today age and experience went out a little bit, right? So when we took those restarts there and Connor was able to get by, you know, you want to go. Like as a driver, I want to go run that fast lap. I want to push and go back and drive by Connor. But I also knew that I was going to pay for it after about 20 laps or 25 laps. And you got to be mindful in those moments of how hard can you go without burning your tires up. And honestly, we fought that at the end, right? Connor was able to come off pit road and able to drive away. And then we were able to start running him back down there at the end. But what I saw out of Connor today was raw speed. I mean, to do what he did, to have the speed that he had, to have the racecraft that he had, I mean, he's going to go to one of these next few and win again on an oval, right? with that, though, I think, you know, it's learning moments. It's teaching moments. I think we can go back and sit down on Monday morning and we can talk about it. And honestly, I want to be open with him and with Carson and with Sammy, how to make them better, right? Because at the end of the day, I've been blessed with great people around me and people that have helped me in my career over and over and over again. Right, he's going to kick himself because of the mistake that he made on pit road. I think Sammy made one as well, right? They're going to kick themselves for it. But you have to take the positive out of this week. And everybody at Junior Motorsports brought incredibly fast race cars. And you know, Chevrolet's been working really hard. You know, you go to the simulator and you want it to be close, but it's still a simulator, right? There's still things that you can't account for. There's still wind and weather and things that, while you can try your best, they're still different. But when you can take a guy or a gal that doesn't have a lot of experience here and you can turn that into experience and speed, that's incredible. And we've been able to do that. And we're checking off boxes over and over again. But as a team, I'm really proud of the speed that we brought this week. You know, I get the glory of being in victory lane. Sammy gets the glory of being on the pole. But at the end of the day, I love where our company is at right now and the effort that they're putting in. And it goes way beyond me. Right, way beyond me as a driver, and I'll help in teaching moments, but they're gonna have to dig down deep and look at what happened today and know that they had the cars that were capable of winning the race, and they'll have the speed to win one here in the next few.
Can we come up?
He is right. I like it when a plan comes together.
Bob Parker's Fox Sports, which either impresses you or makes you, you know, feel more proud just finally winning here or 12th season with a win?
I don't have an answer for that, Bob, because you can't have one without the other. And I think that it's a testament to the teams and the people that I've had around me. You know, probably my toughest year. You know, I had 14 and 15 on the cup side. I came back in 16, and I watched my teammates dominate and win, and I didn't. And, you know, I've been so blessed to be at this organization for a long time. And you know, I look at guys like Denny, right, last week. Denny's been at Gibbs for a long time and got that close and got edged out, right? Kyle Busch not winning a race last year. You know, those are moments that you want them. You feel it, and I empathize to those guys because I want it for them, right? But you never know if or when another win is ever going to come. And I've been blessed to be around great people. And Jim Pullman told me last week, he said, I was fired up at myself because we didn't win. And he said, man, if we race the way we raced last week, we're going to win plenty of races this year. And he's right. Now, it doesn't work out that you go to the next one and win, but I'm just so blessed to be around the great people that I am. And you know what's funny? This race means as much to me as winning a Bristol in 2010, right? Not because it's the 12th season, not because it's Vegas and finally checking the box, because I think I'm able to finally understand the value of what it means to win one of these NASCAR Xfinity Series races. And you know, even winning a championship last year, you still got to dig in deep and go to the next one, and I'm very proud of what we've been able to accomplish. So both are special and always will be special.
We'll do Chris, and then we'll end with two questions in the back.
Chris KnightGetChance.com. Congrats, Justin. Thank you. It was five laps in 2009, by the way.
I know it wasn't many. Actually, Greg Biffle and I got together, and I hit the wall, and that was the end of my day. So
okay. Just following up on what you talked about earlier, what has changed during the offseason that – has just allowed JR Motorsports to have this unbelievable start to the season? It seems like, you know, usually we see one or two cars have really good speed and then the rest are playing catch up, but it's been across the board for the organization to start 2025. And then I have a quick follow up.
Yeah. Number one, I think it's just cohesiveness, right? You have a group of crew chiefs and engineers that are really doing a great job of sharing and understanding each other. You have a group of drivers that we're all in different points of our career, and we're all fighting for something different. And I think that that's it's been fun to watch because not really been a lot of egos. There's just been a lot of hard work to try to make our program better. And not that we didn't have that before, but I think it's like everything is kind of aligned at the same moment, right? The engine shop has done a great job. The chassis shop has done a great job. The fab shop has done a great job, right? And they're all like everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction. And listen, we can go 2 more weeks, 3 more weeks, and we might all be fighting against each other like we have in the past. We might all be running 10th to 15th. You know, I don't know. This sport ebbs and flows so much. What I do know is that the team right now is doing a great job. And listen, the three teammates that I have with the youth that they have, qualifying was like a kick in the gut for me, right? I qualified sixth. I don't know how many times I've qualified 10th and been way less sad about it than I was qualifying sixth, but only because my teammates qualified 1, 2, 3, right? We had an opportunity to go 1, 2, 3, 4. With that, though, I also was like, man, there's a lot of bravery in that moment that I knew what I needed to do. I knew that our long run was going to be the key for today. I knew that the backup car is not better than the primary. We would have unloaded the backup car, right? So I wasn't willing to take the risk that they were. But there's going to be races this year where risk is going to be the difference, and there's going to be races this year where experience and maybe a little bit of patience is going to be the difference. And I feel like because we have that at our shop, it fires me up and kind of puts me more on the offense. And there's moments where, like today, it'll probably slow those guys down a little bit to be able to be better at the end of the race. And you know, those are the teaching moments that I talked about earlier, right? I'm teaching myself still. I'm 38 years old. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm still learning from my teammates that are significantly less younger than I am, or significantly more younger than I am. So, you know, I think these are moments that are really, really cool, and I think that we can grow from it as a team, and you're seeing the results of that.
And how important was it for you to get that win for Jarrett tonight?
Oh, it was super important. You know, Mike Jarrett and his whole family, you know, they have been a staple now of junior motorsports for a number of years, and you know, their business. You know, it's been a lot of fun to kind of dig in deep, right, and to learn about their business and what they do and their customers and you know, they've been a Mike Jarrett really honestly is, even when you're like having bad days, he's the guy that's the pick you up guy, right? He's so positive and he's just, I don't know, he's just an amazing human being, and he's been somebody that really has kind of pushed me to want to be better, right? And no different than Rick Brandt, right? Rick Brandt's the same way. And when you have these people that are business owners that are great at what they do, man, it elevates your game. You know, I think you want to be at their level. And I've been lucky enough to be around their family now for a number of years. And their grandson, Jarrett, ironically enough, was in Victory Lane for the first time today, right? Getting all of their guests in Victory Lane for the first time today, that was huge. And, you know, not that a sponsor has to win to want to stay in the sport, but man, it goes a long way. And you know, I love seeing them check that box just like I did. And you know, they commented on how cool the fire suit looked today. We went black this year on the fire suit, and they commented on how cool it looked. And I'm like, it's gonna look better in Victory Lane, I promise you. And guess what? It looks better in Victory Lane. So really, really special moment.
Final two questions in the back.
Mitchell Brewer, Black Hat Sports. Justin, this is now your 9th consecutive season with a win. That puts you in a list with Kyle Busch and Mark Martin, two of arguably the best in the Xfinity Series. What does that mean to you to be in a category with them?
Listen, I don't know that I can hold either one of their driving shoes. I can assure you of that. The only advantage I got with Mark is that we're about the same height. So maybe I got him on that. But you know, those are two guys that not only do I respect them a lot, but I look back at the history of the sport and listen, they did it the hard way. They did it, you know, when week in and week out, it was, you know, 15, 20 Cup Series regulars. So I don't know that I deserve to be on that list like they are, but I'll be honest with you. I'm going to take every moment I can to put my name next to those two, because I think, you know, for me, I'm a fan of this sport. I'm somebody that grew up in the sport, and I've watched so many great race car drivers, men and women that have come before me, that have carried this sport, right, and been stewards of this sport. And I told Steve Phelps last year at the banquet, you know, that I hope that I can be a good steward of being a champion in the sport. And when you compare yourself to people like that, it's a hard sell for me, right? It really is. But it's something that I'm proud of what we've accomplished, and I will cherish these moments. And I guess the record book will say that I'm in the same level as them, but I still don't know that I feel that way. But I definitely have loved this sport and watched it grow, and couldn't be prouder to be a part of it.
Go ahead.
No, we're off.
Is it on?
There we go.
It's on. Yeah, my question got asked a few minutes ago, but is there any truth to the rumor that Penn and Teller left backstage passes there for you tonight?
I don't know if they did or not, but
probably
I
mean, under I'm the hoping. Trophy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a rodeo at my hotel too tonight, so maybe I can convince somebody to let me get on a
did
bowl.
Did you get to meet them?
No. So I'm pretty sad about that. But I did go last night. I did go to the Eagles concert at the Sphere. Rick Brandt, actually, him and Sierra and Christy, his wife and daughter, flew in. And they took our 7 team to watch the Eagles last night in the Sphere. What an amazing – I mean, Vegas is awesome, right? I've been to shows on the Strip. I've been doing all these other things over the years. And the Sphere definitely took it up a notch last night with the Eagles. And I got to go backstage and I put a guitar on that was pretty special. So, you know, Joe Walsh's guitar, when you get to put it around your neck, is like, that's rare air. So pretty special and cool. So, you know, Vegas has and always will be a favorite of mine. This city, you know, I've been able to do a lot of really cool stuff here. Probably lost a little bit of money in the city, but I've gained it back, a lot of experience and had some fun. And it's been really, really cool. So, no complaints. If there are tickets, that would be awesome. But if there aren't, you know what? I've done a lot of cool stuff.
All right, Justin. Well, thank you so much. Congratulations. And enjoy that family dinner tonight.
I will. I got to go. You know what? One thing I will tell you. There are like 100 fans still in Victory Lane. Mm-hmm. And they've like – I mean, we all lived there trying to get in here. That's probably the best part about winning at a place like here is – the fan engagement at Vegas is incredible. So thank you all. I'm going to go sign some autographs, and I'll see you all next week in Homestead.